Okay, we are up to Shoftim, Perek Yud Beis. Perek Yud Beis, this is the second perek related to Yiftach, before we then get into Shimshon. We mentioned last time that the quality of the Shofate has changed drastically since the beginning of the Sefer. So we know at the beginning of the Sefer there was a certain type, not anything against Yiftach and Shimshon. They were great Shoftim, great leaders and great conquerors and military victors. But in terms of their Talmudic knowledge and in terms of their ability to be the spiritual leaders, they were vastly different than the earlier Shoftim. And it could be because Am Yisrael weren't worthy of having the Shoftim on the previous level. So here we have Yiftach, who has just defeated the enemy. He comes back, and whatever happened with his daughter, as we saw in the Machlokas, we've shown him. In this parak, the people of Ephraim come to Yiftach, just like they came to Gidon a few prakim ago, and they said, "Why did you call us? We would have helped." And they say very strongly, "And because of that, we're going to burn down your house." The first pasuk. And Yiftach says, "I don't think so. I would have wanted you to come. You didn't come. You know, I looked for you, and it was years, and you never asked, never offered to help, and therefore, I see you're ganging up on me, and there's a civil war." Before the civil war that comes up later in the Sefer, there's a civil war here, as Yiftach leads the people of Menashe, his Shevet, over the people of Ephraim, and he defeats them, and 42,000 B'nai Ephraim are killed. And the pasuk even tells us an interesting way of how he figured out how they wore B'nai Ephraim, because they tried to fake it. There was a way that how they pronounced something, as we'll get into. And after that, after those that war, Yiftach was a shofet for 6 years before he dies, and he is buried in Arei Gilad. At the end of the parak, we have three other shoftim quickly mentioned. We hardly know anything about them. As we had sometimes we have 3-4 prakim about a shofet, and sometimes we have one pasuk about a shofet. So at the end we have Ivtan, Elon, and Avdon. Those three just mentioned very quickly. We know one detail about each of them, which we'll read. And then, by the time of the next parak, we get into the story of Shimshon, which is the last shofet discussed at length in the Sefer. There are two extra stories at the end, which we're going to talk about, Pilegish Begiva and Pesel Micha, two tragic stories how the Sefer ends. But Shimshon is really the last. But first we talk about second half of Yiftach. So here we go. Let's go back to the beginning of the parak. Parak Yud Beis. Vayitza Eik Ish Ephraim Vayavar Tzafona. The people of Ephraim come and they're very angry. And they come north. Vayomru Li Yiftach Li Zeri Yiftach. Matua Avarta Lihi Lachem Bibnei Amon. Why do you go fight Amon? Velonu Lo Karasa Lalecha Zimach. And you didn't call us. Beis Chanisra Valecha Beish. We're going to burn down your house. Couple of points. Number one, what were the B'nai Ephraim so upset? They were the only Shevet that complained both to Yiftach and to Gidon a couple of prakim ago. So fascinating, says the Malbim, because B'nai Ephraim were Shevet Ephraim. Yiftach and Gidon were both from Menashe. So you know what they were thinking? We're the real Ben Yosef. You think you're so great? You think you're the Shofet? No, we're the real son. Remember the switching of the hands in Parshas Vayechi? We got the right hand. Yaakov Avinu switched. So even though we're with the younger son, we are the major, and that's why, says the Malbim, fascinatingly, that's why they were the ones that came to argue on these two Shoftim, because these are the two Shoftim that we have from Shevet Menashe, right? We have the Ya'ir HaGiladi was also, but these are the two major Shoftim that were from Menashe. So maybe that's why the B'nai Ephraim took it personally because of what was done. So they come and they say, "We're going to burn your house down." Vayomi Yiftach Aleihem. Yiftach answers them and says, let's keep in mind, what did Gidon answer them? When the B'nai Ephraim came to Gidon, Gidon says, "Calm down. It's okay, you guys are great. You guys, the B'nai Ephraim actually did help kill the king at the end, if you remember then. You helped! You guys are amazing! Thank you so much." He diffused the situation. And here we have the opposite. Either because, the Mefarshim explained, either because, what had Yiftach just done? He was in a different state. He wasn't on top of the world. He had just killed his daughter. He had just had some type of tragedy with his daughter. A. Or B, explains some of the Mefarshim, the Abarbanel says that they were much more vociferous and they spoke much harsher to Yiftach. What do they say? "We're going to kill you." There they just said, "Why don't you call us?" But here says the Abarbanel, they used very strong words. V'hine lo ra yiftach lefayes bedvarim lebnei Ephraim. Kamo sha'asa Gidon aleihem. Yiftach didn't answer the same way. V'hasibaba ze etzli. Why? Lefishem dibru legidon b'lashon racha. Ima yosem b'mriva. They were fighting earlier, but it was a calm fight. Aval leyiftach amru miyad v'tchila beischa nisra v'lachabesh. Your house. And therefore Yiftach saw they weren't interested in making up and coming to a peaceful resolution, and therefore he was not interested. So what does Yiftach answer? Ish Riv. Ani Ish Riv Hayiti Ani Vami Ubnei Amon Ma'od. The Bnei Amon were fighting my people. V'ezak Eschem, and I called you below Hoshatem Osimi Adam. And you didn't come to my aid. Says the Malbim in this Pasuk. Really, there are three reasons that Yiftach is explaining his problem with the Bnei Ephraim. First of all, he says, Ish Riv Hayiti Ani Va'ami Bnei Amon. Number one, they attacked Gilad, which is Menashe, it was the east side of the Jordan. So number one, Amon attacked me, so I got to stand up for myself. That's why I didn't call you, number one. And then, Vo'ezak Aleichem, I did try to call you. I did try, number two. And number three, next pasuk, Va'era ki incha Moshia. And I saw you didn't even have the kochos anyway. You didn't listen to me, but it's not like you would have been able to help me. So for those three reasons, I saw Kadosh Baruch Hu was in charge, and that's why you weren't involved. Vasima kadafshi b'chapi. So I did it myself. I did it myself. Again, a different reaction to what was done by. What was done by the others. So what did Yiftach say? Vayikvo Yisrach, it's called Anche Gilad. Yiftach doesn't waste any time. He gathers and he's going to fight them. The Rinas Yisrach, Rav Yisrach Saraskin says why? They were Morid B'malchus. They were, as we've mentioned, the Shofet had a certain din of a type of leader. We discussed differences between a Melech and a Shofet, different types of leaders, but if they felt that there was an undermining of the leadership and it would affect the nation, so they had the right to take the law into their own hands. And that's why they said, this Bnei Ephraim is going to undermine everything that we've accomplished. Now we're unified. Now we've gained our independence from Amon. So that's why he took the law into his own hands. Vayikbos Yiftach as kol anshei Gilad. He gathered everyone. Vayilochem es Ephraim. He fought Ephraim. Vayaku anshei Gilad as Ephraim. And they fought ki amru. They started fighting them. And you know what they said to them? They started being mevaza them. They started disgracing them. Pleite Ephraim atem. Gilad, Betoch Ephraim, Betoch Manasseh. You're our leftovers. Plate Ephraim at them. You're the leftovers of Ephraim. Insulting them. And you're amongst Ephraim and Manasseh, but you're nothing. Right? This is, they were mevayish them. They were embarrassed them. And Gidon and the Yiftach was not going to have anything of it. There's an amazing discussion in the Rishonim already about the halacha. The Gemara says, Hamavayish b'nei chaveir b'rabim. If somebody embarrasses their friend in public, it's like killing them. It's like killing them. And ein lo chelek olam haba, that's the Gemara in Meseches Sota. The Gemara says there, we know the Gemara, we know the Chazal, noach lo, it's better for a person to go into a burning oven. Noach lo la'adam shi'apel la'tazbil to kifshana ish, and not to embarrass anyone. Who do we know that from? Tamar. Tamar and Yehuda. Tamar doesn't say, oh Yehuda, you're the one that made me pregnant. Tamar just says, it's the man who these belong to. Without him, and she was on her way to be burnt. So we learn from her, it's better not to embarrass somebody, even if they're right. Noach lo la'adam, shi'apel ashpel atzmo. Tosus has an unbelievable comment. Tosus in Sota, Dav Yudam Abeis, asks, if we say that embarrassing somebody is like killing them, like the Bnei Ephraim here embarrass Yiftach and his people, if we say it's like killing them, so why is it only the big three averos that you have to be Yehar Valyavar for? Right? Murder, idolatry, and adultery. The big three. Avodah Zarah, Gilad, Shefach, Damim. There should be four. Embarrassing somebody. If somebody says, embarrass so-and-so or I'm going to kill you, we should have to be killed. Because that's like killing them. What is Tosfos' answer? Tosfos doesn't reject the question. Tosfos says, you're right. It just doesn't list it because it's not explicit in the Torah. Meaning, in a chinami, it sounds like from Tosfos. If somebody says to me, embarrass him in public or I'm going to kill you, we have to be killed. Unbelievable line. Tosa. Venira, Haidelo, Chashavle, Bahadi Gimel Averos, Shein Om de Bevrei Pikoch Nefesh, Mishum da Averos, Albanas Panim, Enim Mufureshes Batora, Velo Naka del Averos and Mufureshos. The list only has the three explicit ones, but not the one that's implicit. But it doesn't say that you don't have to. Unbelievable. If you look in the Shari Tshuva, Rabbeinu Yonah writes in Shar Shlishi, Kuf Lamid Tes, he says, Avak Ritzicha, Halbanas Panim. The dust of murder, like there's avak lashon hara, there's avak gili arayis, Avach Ritzicha Halpanas Panim. Why? Ki Panav Yechavaru V'Nas Mara Adom. You remove the blood from his face. Sometimes when people get embarrassed, they turn white, and sometimes they turn red. But either way, the blood is moving. Right? So that's an ofan of murder. V'Dom Me'el Ritzicha. V'Chein Amu Zecharonom Levracha. And he says, number two, he says, Tsar Ha'Albana Mar Mimavis. It's even worse than death. Right? And that's what the Gemara says. Yo'im Yapalatzmo. You go in there. Right? There's Avach Ritzicha. He says, it's very, very chamor. Right? And we know that from Tamar. There's even a discussion in the poskim. Unbelievable that there's even a discussion like this in the poskim, how seriously they take this comparison. The Lahoris Nasan, Reb Nasan Gestetner, in his Chuvis, in Chelek Ches, Simon Beis, he talks about a Kohen who embarrasses someone in public. Is he allowed a Duchen? Because we know that a Kohen who commits murder, there's a Shiloh whether he's allowed a Duchen. If he commits murder, amazing, he for sure cannot. Bishogeg, and he does Chuva, that's a Machlokas. Let's say, Rahman al-Islam, a Kohen's in a car accident. And he kills somebody in the car accident. Let's say a Kohen is in the Israeli army. And he has to kill somebody in self-defense. Could he duchen afterwards? Serious shilas. Rav Avadi Yosef has a tshuva about it in Yechav Adas. So the Horus Nasa talks about, what if he embarrasses somebody in public? Are you going to go so far? Oh, it's as if he killed him and therefore he can't duchen? He can't even see his kafayim? See, he said, the fact that the question is asked is unbelievable. He says, no, don't go that far. Which we would have said also. But the fact that the question is asked shows us the seriousness. He says, "Mikol makom ein yisod lahochiach shekoyin yaser lisa kapav kishehil bepre chaveru to after avid iser chamor mikol makom eino begeder yedechem dami milei." It's still not literally like murder. It's terrible, but it's not literally like murder. Number one, the other halachic discussion is Rav Shlomo Zalman. Shlomo Zalman Oyerbach and Mincha Shlomo Simin Zayin also discusses and rejects it, but he discusses. We know that you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to save somebody's life. If you know somebody's going to be killed, you're allowed to drive in a car to save him. What if you know somebody's going to be embarrassed? Are you allowed to drive in a car to save them? Are you allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to prevent Havadah Sechavir Rabin? Again, unbelievable that the question is even asked. He says, no, of course not. He says, he's not allowed to do that. But even though the Rishonim take it very seriously, it doesn't mean that seriously. But this is what the Bnei Ephraim did here. Right? The Bnei Ephraim, they embarrassed Yiftach, and therefore Yiftach says, I have to take the law into my own hands. So Vayikvas Yiftach, he gathers the Anshe Gilad, and he fights Ephraim. Vayaku Anshe Gilad as Ephraim, the Anshe Gilad hit Ephraim, Ki Abru played the Ephraim Atem, we read that, and he goes over the Mabros, the Yardin Ephraim, and Gilad basically sets up a siege. Sets up a siege, there's a certain pathway that the Anshe Ephraim have to get through, and they set up a roadblock, and they killed any of Ish Ephraim that came through. Ki Amru played the Ephraim, and Vora, Vayomer Lo, Anshe Gilad Ephrati Atav, Vayomer Lo. So sometimes they tried to deny it. So how did Yiftach and his men figure it out? Because it's one of the only times in all of Tanakh that they discussed how to pronounce something. Vayomru lo, they say to them, Emar lanu shiboles. Say the word shiboles. Shiboles, some type of stalk. Vayomer, and they used to say, siboles. They couldn't say the shut sound. They said siboles. They said, you are Ben Ephraim. Vlo yochin ladaber kain, vayochzu oso, vayishchatu amabro samayim. They killed them, because they knew that they were Bnei Ephraim, and they killed 42,000 of them. I saw an unbelievable thought in the Kamosi Shalal Rav, quoting this from the Tiferes Tzvi. Why, Dafka, was that the test? Go one step further. Why couldn't they say that? It was just like the dialect. They couldn't say the shin. There were so many shvatim. What, half the shvatim couldn't say the shin? We don't find that anywhere except by these Bnei Ephraim, that they couldn't say the shin. They only said it as a sin. So the Tiferes Tzvi says, amazing. He says, if you look back, based on what we said earlier, remember why did they Dafka attack Yiftach? Because they were Bnei Ephraim. They said, we're better. We're the real son of Yosef. Remember the pasuk in Parshas Vayechi? Yaakov Avinu stands in front of his two grandchildren. Yosef puts them and he flips his hands. He puts his right hand on Ephraim and his left hand on Menashe. What does the pasuk say there? Sikel es Yadav. Sin kuf lamid. He acts with, what does Sikel mean? He acts with seichel. He acts with intellect. Sikel ki Menashe habachar. Because Menashe was the bachar. The pasuk ends off. Since Menashe was the bachar, he flipped his hands. He acted with chachma because he was saying, Menashe is the bachar, but I'm going to flip my hands. But if you're looking to say for Torah, it just says shin. It doesn't say samach, which would be sikel. It says shin. Shin can be read sh or sa. The Bnei Ephraim read it as sikel. that it was on purpose. He acted with intellect that he flipped his hand. But you could also read it as shekel, which he explains might just mean from a lashon of hashlacha. He threw his hand and he like might have made a mistake. Because Menashe was the Bechor, so he made a mistake. So B'nai Ephraim believed, no, he didn't make a mistake. So they focused on the sin. And they, because that was their whole mantra, that was their whole, we are the real true Ben Yosef, so they trained themselves to even not to be able to say the Shah. Everything was the Suh. And that's why, Dafka, that was he tested them on. Shibola, Sibolas, that's what you're coming to me, I'm going to identify you. And that's the, Dotsi Karlenstein, as he quotes it here, Mishum Kach B'nei Ephraim, Shechashashu, Pen Yikru B'Shein Yamanath, they wanted to make sure they never read it as a shin, not a sin. Omdu V'Hergelu Es L'Shonam, L'Daber Tamid B'Shin Smalas, they only read it as a sin. Umikivan Shezu Haisa Kavana Sam, because this was their Kavana, Asu Latman Siman Dafka B'Shibolas. That is the suggestion. Okay, so this is the story of Yiftach, and then we have Vayishpo Yiftach as Yisrael Sheishanim. He's a judge for 6 years. Vayamas Yiftach HaGiladi. He dies. Vayikaver Ba'arei Gilad. And he's buried in the cities of Gilad. Chazal, pick up on that. That's a strange phrase. Usually when you're buried in one place. Vayikaver Ba'arei Gilad. He's buried in the cities of Gilad, says the Radak. It probably means just one of the cities of Gilad. But he says, quotes Chazal say no. Are Gilad, what does that mean? He was punished here. He was punished for what he did to his daughter, which we spoke about in the last parak. He shouldn't have done. Either he should have gone to Pinchas. Pinchas should have gone to him. Pinchas was punished and he was punished. Pinchas lost his Ruach HaKodesh and he was punished that his limbs started falling off. And all the places that he went, he lost a limb. So he was buried in the cities of Gilad, where every one of his limbs fell off, says the Radak. Shehu kabeshchin, he became a muchashchin, v'haya nofel eivara me'ir le'ir, u'b'chal ir, v'haya nofel eivara e'nikvar shom, wherever his limb fell off, boom. Why was he punished this way? Because he shouldn't have killed his daughter, that's what the Ramban thinks, he should have brought a karban, which would have been brought limb by limb, up on the Mizbeach, as a karban ola. In Nesachim, so because Mida Keneged Mida, he lost his limbs one by one in this regard. Ba'arei Gilad. That itself is also a big halachic discussion. Is there a chiyuv kvura on limbs? We know there's a chiyuv kvura on people. Is there a chiyuv kvura on limb? Let's say somebody, Rachman al-Aslan, has to get a finger amputated. Is there a chiyuv to bury that finger? There's a big discussion in the Achronim. But one of the rayas that they bring is this chazal right here. You think, oh, it's a little chazal. Okay, his limbs fell off. But it says he was buried in the Arei Gilad. They buried his limbs. This is one of the main sources. But the shaila is that because there's a real chiyuv of kvura? Just like there's a chiyuv to bury a fellow Jew, there's a chiyuv to bury a limb. Or is it just more to prevent people from becoming tamei? You don't want a kohen to be walking around and becoming tamei from this limb. So it's not really a chova per se, but it's just a preventative measure to make sure that kohanim don't become tamei. The Shvus Yaakov has a tshuva about this. If you want to look it up, in Chelek, Beisim, and Kofalev, Echad Shenola Lo Maka Baraglo. Somebody has a problem with his leg. V'utzrach lachtoch lo raglo. U'mechuyev likbro, so evro lo. Do you have a chiyuv to bury? L'chora nira di'ish l'kavar. He says, you should. Based on medrash, v'yikavar ba'arei gilad. Shemes b'neshilas evarim. He says, it might not be a right, because that might just be just preventative. But I think there is definitely something to say about this. At the end, he's not to say you should bury, but he's not sure about the reason. Rachman al-Islam, this comes up l'maisa. Every time the Zaka workers have to go and deal with a terrorist attack, they go every tiny little Rachman al-Islam nishar, every single part of a human body, they go get because they want to be covered. They want a proper burial. But that's this issue. That's this issue of Vayikaver Ba'arei Gilad. Okay, let's continue. So now we have the three quick shoftim mentioned at the end of the parak. Vishpod Achrav is Yisrael Ibson. Ibson from Beis Lechem. What do we know about Ibson? He had 30 sons and 30 daughters. That's what we know, and he lived, he was shofit for 7 years. Ibson died, and he's buried in Beis Lechem. Ah, this is where Chazal get it from. Chazal say Ibson was Boaz. The story of Rus happened now at the time of the shoftim, even though it's in Ksuvim. The Rus happened right now, the time of the Shoftim. Ibson was Boaz. We know one thing about Boaz. Chazal tell us, the Gemara in Baba Basra on Daf Tzadi Aleph, tells us that Boaz had 30 sons and 30 daughters, and they all predeceased him. They all predeceased him. Why did they all predecease him? Says the Gemara, he made 60 weddings for all of his kids. He was Ochem, Me'av Esri Mishtoz Asa Laboaz Labana. 60 weddings. But you know what happened? What's coming up in the next parak? Manoach, the father of Shimshon. He didn't invite Manoach, who was a friend of his, to any of his weddings. Why? Says the Gemara, a very harsh comment. He says, well, he thought, well, Manoach doesn't have any kids. So he's not going to make any weddings. I'm going to invite him 60 times. He's not going to invite me to any. So forget it. He didn't invite him, and that's why Manoach ended up having a son who saved Klal Yisrael, Shimshon, and all of Boaz's sons and daughters predeceased him. V'kuvan meisu b'chayev. So that is a difficult line. Boaz, we know, was a tzaddik. So how exactly, what were his kavanas? So there are different suggestions given. The Maharsha there in Baba Basra suggests, why did Boaz do it? Yesh makshim, ish chasid mefursam ka Boaz. How can we say that? The answer is because in those days, no, it wasn't that Boaz, I'm not going to get anything out of it. Boaz didn't want to take any presents for nothing. Right? Soni matonas yichya. So in those days, when you invited somebody to a simcha, you knew you weren't, getting presents for them because you're going to give them presents, but you go to their simchas. But he wasn't going to go to a simcha of Manoach, and he knew Manoach was going to give him a present. And he didn't want to have to take the present without being able to give back a present. So that was his kavana, number one. Or the Ben Yehoyada says, maybe he thought it would be too painful for Manoach to be there. And we know that psychologically. Right? People who don't have children, Rachmana Litzlan, what's the Simchas Torah and Purim are the most painful days for them. Once had somebody who I knew in one of my shuls. He said he couldn't go to shul Simchas Torah. Couldn't go to shul on Purim. Because he can't deal with it. Rachmana Litzlan. Right, so that's what Boaz felt. For Manoach, I'm not going to invite him because it's going to be too painful. So why was he punished then? So this explains Boaz's actions. But why was he punished? He was punished because, you know what, let Manoach make that decision. Invite him. Don't make cheshbonos on the feet of other people. Oh, I'm not sure, I don't want to accept a gift. No. You're talking about Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. Don't make any cheshbonos. Like Chazal say, by Chana and Penina. What happened? Penina used to make fun of Chana in order to get her to be in pain, to daven harder so she'll have a child. What happened? Chana, Penina lost her all of her kids. Beginning of Sefer Shmuel. Why? Says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. We don't make cheshbonos when it comes to Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. You do the chesed. And then you worry about it later. So that's exactly what happened here with Ivson, who was Boaz as well. So Ivson, Boaz, as we know from Shevet Yehuda, right? Boaz from Shevet Yehuda, the relative of Ruth and the great Zeda of David HaMelech. Then we have Elon HaZvuloni, Zvulun, and all we know about him is nothing. We know he judged for 10 years and he's buried in Eretz Zvulun. And then finally, we have the last shofet. We have Avdon Ben Hillel Hapir Atoni. What do we know about him? That he had 40 sons, 30 grandsons, that rode on 70 special animals. That is all we know. And he judged for 8 years. He died, and he was buried in Pir Aton. What shevet was Avdon from? So that is not clear. Rashi in Sukkah, Chav Zayin says, we don't know. This is one of the shoftim that we don't know whose shevet he was from. Others, there's a medrash, the Yalkut suggests that he was from Ephraim also. But either way, we have a number of shoftim we've had from Yehuda. Asniel ben Kenaz was from Yehuda and Boaz. We had from Binyamin, Eid ben Gera, if you remember, was from Binyamin. Dvorah was from Naphtali, Dvorah and Barak. Remember the song? We've had Menashe now. Gidon and Yair and Yiftach were from Menashe. We've had maybe from Ephraim, if Avdon was from Ephraim. We had from Zvulun. And soon we are going to have from Dun. Shimshon is going to be from Dun. And then, of course, the last real shofet is Shmuel, who's from Shevet Levi. So a couple of Shvatim didn't make it. But this takes us through Yiftach. And next time, we get into the major story of Shimshon HaGibar. Okay, we'll stop here.